Hello and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast, the show from FLETSMR, where this season we've been investigating the big topics and interesting questions in market research. I'm thrilled today to be joined by MRS fellow and founder of Keena's Mustard Marketing, Lucy Davison. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm extremely honoured to be here. I think you've had some amazing people on this podcast, so I'm very honoured to be amongst them.
Well, we're very excited to be talking to you today. And what we're here to talk about is the topic you'll be discussing at SMR Congress next month, how researchers can create a culture informed decision making. And I hear you might be busting some myths along the way. But before we do dive into that, would you mind sharing with our listeners a brief summary of your career and what you do at Keena's Mustard Marketing for anyone who doesn't already know?
Fabulous. Thanks, Chris. A brief summary of my career. It's always a struggle because it's been going on quite a long time now. But I'll start from Keena's Mustard, which I founded in 2006. And I originally founded it as an agency to help market researchers communicate and market themselves. So agencies, suppliers, tech companies, and also clients. But we've kind of quite strongly pivoted in the last few years to be much more focused on insight communications for insight teams in large global organizations. So we work with companies like BIC, Coca-Cola, Sanofi, Adobe. We basically help them elevate the work that they do and communicate it in a really professional and powerful way to get internal engagement. And that has been very strongly what has driven my involvement in the insights industry, really, since I started, in that I was always very frustrated by the kind of poor communication that went on around all these wonderful consumer insights, which I saw coming in. And before I was at Mustard, I was the marketing director at a company called Research International, which at the time was one of the big three global research organizations. And I worked in multiple markets while I worked there for about 6 or 7 years. So I've been in the industry since the year 2000.
I want to ask you about something that I think probably goes hand in hand with a lot of the work you do in terms of research communication, which is the word market researchers use all the time around impact. I'm sure you kind of come across research and impact quite often at Keena's Mustard. How important is impact to the industry?
Well, impact is really important, okay, because what we're trying to do is get impact. But I think the way that it's often used in insights is more as a sort of collision or a one-off hit, which is not what we're really talking about. And I think the focus on impact tends to mean that you can kind of get away with just doing one thing, making it as kind of loud as possible, and then not actually doing ongoing, having real impact, which is ongoing resonance and salience and influence, and using insights to ground the strategy of organizations. And I think that we tend to chase this idea of impact, perhaps, as I say, as a kind of one-off hit, rather than as the real impact, which is what we want, which is that longer term salience. So we will be slaying off the idea of that kind of impact in our session at SMR, which I think we're going to probably come back to later on.
Yeah, definitely. So separating out those two types of impact, the kind of short term hit and the long term salience, I guess that requires quite complex quite a complex skill set, and communication is going to be a big part of that. So what is your advice for researchers who want to be better communicators and more impactful in the right way in their organizations?
Well, when we do communications training, which we do quite a lot of, one of the exercises we do right at the beginning of our training is about understanding what good communication is. And one of the core lessons that people come out with from that is that it is two-way, and good communication is in the ear of the receiver, not in the mouth of the communicator, if you like. So it's all about two ears and one mouth, and listening and engaging and consulting. And it's much less about shouting about things and waving flags to kind of, get that attention. So I think that my advice for researchers who want to be better communicators is really to have the confidence in the knowledge that you are an expert. And, you know more about markets and customers than anyone else in your organization. And you know about your consumer and customer behavior. So it's not about you as an individual. It's about what you know and what you observe. And you can have huge amounts of confidence to help your organization make decisions and move forward based on what you know. So it's kind of like having that innate knowledge and confidence about your customer, your markets, your strategy, which positions you really clearly as a real expert, and people should be clamoring to come to you for information. So I think it's a combination between really listening to your stakeholders, really listening to your organization, really tapping into your organization, and having the confidence to be the expert. That's what you're there for. And I mean, researchers often say to me, oh, I don't know what to do because I've got bad news. And I was like, well, it is the truth, right? So it's not you, don't shoot the messenger, you're the mouthpiece. So think about how you're coming across in the organization and be honest and bold. And I think that would help a lot. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It reminds me of, as a marketer, one of the first things I remember being told was, as soon as you sit behind the desk, you're not your customer anymore. You have to create that separation between you as an individual and you as a decision maker, and look at the truth more objectively. And from what you're saying, it sounds like, researchers are really there to be that bridge between the decision makers in an organization and the customers, and be that bringer of truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But also I feel that they can be so much more visceral about the experience that the customer is having. And, I feel like, it's all about people, okay? And people sort of forget, and they start thinking about data and data points and describing people as consumers. Consumers don't exist, right? They're people. And sometimes they consume some things, and sometimes they consume other things. And, there are so many things coming into play here. And I feel that it's very easy to hide behind a wall of kind of numbers and sort of, treat it as a dispassionate thing. Whereas I feel that the researcher can really help bring that visceral understanding and that sort of urgent response of the people that they're targeting or marketing to. And I think that is really where the magic can happen.
How do researchers create that kind of pull demand for that kind of visceral, I'm going to use the word again, impact or portrayal of customers? Because it's not always inherent in companies, and it's not an inherent trait of decision makers to want that all the time. I think that's something a lot of teams tend to struggle with. Is that something you've come across before?
Yes, it very much is. And I think if we're going to have that long-term salience and that kind of resonance internally, then, you know, again, this idea about impact and this kind of one-off thing is often a distraction. And I think one of the key ways that we can really add value is by connecting up those different insights, or, you know, sometimes it is data, but it makes sense in a pattern, and seeing those patterns and communicating that in a very ongoing way is much more effective, I think, than the kind of one-off hit. So I think thinking about what you want the audience to do with your information, and thinking about how you want them to act, and thinking about what the, you know, the long-term implications are is incredibly important. And then telling people what you want them to do with what you're sharing, and communicating in a much more over and clear way, is really, really important. So I think, you know, repeating a single message multiple times in multiple different ways is clearly going to be more important than communicating multiple messages once. And I think that focus, I mean, we use a lot, you know, in the work that we do with clients, there are really only six questions that you need to answer when you're communicating insights. And so we make sure that we know the answers to those questions before we start designing anything, or creating a film, or putting together an article, or doing a blog or an infographic. We really hone in on what your key overriding message is going to be from this. And then you can start to connect up between projects and between studies, and make sense on a broader level, and synthesize the information you've got. So the ways that we do that, the actual methods, as I said just now, are things like film, infographics, podcasts like this, blogs, posters. I mean, there are multiple ways of doing it, but treating it like a campaign, treating it in the way that you would any communication campaign, if you're doing an external marketing exercise, treating that internally, I think is really, really important. Again, I don't know if I've answered your question.
Oh, you definitely have. And you're making me think as well. You know, I've thought for a while about this idea of the relationship between marketing and research as industries. And that research is seen as a part of marketing, but really the research communications piece is in itself a form of marketing, right?
That's of course
what it's. And so there's things that I think researchers and marketers should be learning from each other, rather than just sitting across from each other and talking data and being part of one flow. I think there should be a lot more active connection. What are some of your thoughts on how we can make that happen, or what we should be learning from each other?
There are some practical things I think we can be doing in terms of working together more closely, and secondments, and, you know, the sort of, you know, people working in each other's teams. I mean, it really, really does help, clearly. I mean, I've always spent my career applying what I know about marketing and communications to insights, right? As we've just discussed. And so I have lots of things that I think researchers can learn from marketing. And I actually spent quite a lot of time talking to my husband about this, because he worked for many years as a planner in advertising agencies. And he was always slagging off research. Oh, it was really boring. They came in and did, you know, they killed it, you know, as in negatively. But actually, I think that there are some very clear tools that marketers use to get salience and to get their opinions across, which I think researchers can really, really learn from, and which we have been applying. Where I really struggled was, what can what can marketers learn from researchers other than this, you know, understanding of customers and of people and of markets and how to read the environment? And I struggled with the answer to that point because, you know, clearly the only way you can be a good marketer, I mean, just number one, is having a really good understanding of your customer. Otherwise, you can't do your job, right? It's just like it's like the air you breathe. You can't do it. So, other than that, I couldn't see what the. I'd be interested to know what you think are the things that marketers can learn from researchers.
It's interesting you bring up the point about, you know, the researchers came in and they killed the idea. I think that is often the ego of marketers and advertisers. And I think there's something to be learned in the way that researchers and those involved in the data industries approach an issue, which is very much as a learning experience. Whereas I think it's a lot more common in marketing advertising to have an idea and then to want to believe in the idea so much that you look for the narrative for it to fit. And it's not new. I think that's been an issue since kind of the dawn of marketing. And it's difficult to fix as well because it's somewhat about the timelines of, you know, how projects are created, the way agencies are structured. But I think we do need to shift to find some way of breaking that divide between the researchers are there to either come in and green light the project or come in and dismantle the project. I think there has to be a better way of approaching that relationship. I think.
Yes, I agree. I also think that, you know, we need to very strongly recognize that marketing has changed enormously in the last 15 years. And the need for data in the way that it existed before, as in doing research, has significantly changed because of digital marketing and the digital environment. And so people tend to make quick short-term decisions based on, you know, digital information, which I think has created a major barrier between marketers and people. And I think it's a real problem for marketing, and has also devalued research because, you know, quick, cheap, easy research that gives you a green light, bada bing, is not what research is about. And this is not what we're talking about here in this conversation. What we're talking about is really bringing the voice of the customer into organizations and helping people make good decisions. And I feel like a lot of those short-term tactical decisions can be quite, you know, they're literally made on the basis of a few clicks. And I don't necessarily think that's the way to build long-term brand salience in the minds of your customers. So I think maybe it's just returning to the original point that we were making earlier about what marketers need to learn from researchers is that real visceral understanding of the customer. I also think it's interesting that marketing has kind of been slightly eroded sometimes within organizations, so that the role of marketing is quite often now very much, you know, ads, digital ads, packs, and much less about, you know, building that products to deliver against a consumer need. And that's often R&D and innovation as a kind of separate thing. And that often doesn't report into marketing. And then you've got operational size of businesses. And it feels like marketing has slightly lost its plot in some of these areas, where I would have thought when I first started working in marketing, you know, the CMO would have been 100% had an oversight on all these things, and that would have been very much their role within the organization. So I think the roles have really, really changed, and the roles of researchers obviously have changed a lot. But now, but I think you find that researchers often aren't really talking to marketing people as much because of the way that organizations have structured insights and strategy, and they have different directions. So, and that's a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, you remind me of the very first week I studied at my marketing undergrad. We were tasked with an essay, and the essay was just write 2,000 words on what is marketing. And apparently the answer was marketing is nothing more or less than the process of bringing a product to market. And what that was meant to represent was the idea that marketing is both very tangible, very definable, but also almost everything. It does have an overarching place in the business, and research, understanding of customer, having an internal narrative about who your customers are, what they do, that visceral understanding you talk about is a huge part of that as well.
Absolutely massive, yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. We can't ignore the ways in which the industry and organizations have changed. And it's almost like we're playing catch up now to figure out what the new roles are.
Exactly.
And how much they should be what they were, and how much they need to evolve into something new.
Absolutely.
Which I guess brings me quite nicely on to possibly quite a tough question, but if there was one thing you could change about the research industry, what would that be?
Well, I mean, I think it's not a difficult question for me to answer because I think it's all about communication, but I would say that, wouldn't I? But, you know, I just think that on the whole, it's a bit like your description of, you know, marketing is bringing a product to market. And that means insights is a really big part of that. And I would say that, you know, research and insight is really all about communication, and we kind of forget that. And we think we forget that at our peril and have historically forgotten that. So I feel like we do research, we get obsessed with the process of doing the research, of finding the information, of building the platform for the data, of doing the surveys, of doing the focus groups, whatever it is we're doing to do the research. And we're 100% focused on that and internalizing that within our brains in insights and our decision, you know, our decisions based on that. But what we're really not very good at is proselytizing and sharing that and synthesizing what we know. And all that is about communication. All that is about getting, you know, the messages out in multiple ways, at multiple levels, to the organizations we work in, and also more broadly to, you know, to the world at large. I mean, I've always thought we should do much more about what a great industry it is and what an interesting environment it is to work in, and what fantastic strategic decisions you can get involved in, and, you know, what a great career for young people who are curious and intelligent and want to change the world. All those things could be resolved with better communication and stronger communication around insights in every single level. So the one thing I'd change is I would improve the communication.
Absolutely. And you make a very compelling argument for it as well.
Thank you. Also, you know, the other thing is we're chasing a smaller and smaller pool of people who want to actually do surveys. I mean, you know, survey taking, you know, could well be going out anyway. But even with that in mind, getting information out of people with all the data breaches and all the personal information and the disaggregation of personal information and all these important things around data privacy, actually, people don't want to tell people stuff. Right. And we're chasing the smaller and smaller pool. And if we can actually get the relationship with people on a more proactive and a better level where people can see that their influence can actually change things for the good, then I think, again, we would benefit hugely from that as an industry. So there's another reason why communication is so important.
Yeah, definitely. And you're reminding me of thoughts I've had recently on kind of the blurring of research and advocacy and community, and how all of these different areas of marketing are starting to coalesce a little bit, I think.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I certainly, I mean, I think it kind of, I don't know, maybe it was about 10, maybe, I don't know. It was definitely part of the digital change, which I think has been super interesting to live through. But I think the whole concept of communities and online communities really shifted the perception from going out and asking specific people about specific things to actually building a relationship with your participants and the people you need to understand, and actually making it much more of a dialogue. And I think that was enormously beneficial, whatever form that takes. I think that has really changed the way people understand and see research.
Definitely. Now, I'm afraid we are running out of time.
Oh, no.
I've got one last question, but I think I might know your answer to it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Tell me.
Before we go, what is the one thing you would like people to take away from today's episode?
Oh, gosh. I think I would probably like people to, if you're a researcher, to really have that confidence to be the expert and to be the internal consultant, to know that you know, right? You're the expert. You know more about markets and customers than that. That's what you're there for. So really own that. I think it would probably be that. Be decisive. And also, God, once you've been decisive, then be really, really, really focused and just keep going on about one thing a lot. And, you know, the kind of single key overriding message, I cannot stress the importance of that. We use the creative brief every time we do any kind of communications, and it's so crucial to keep focused on that message.
Lots of great advice for researchers. I lied. One more question. Final one.
Getting your money's worth.
For anyone thinking about coming to SMR Congress and coming to your panel on salience and staying power next month, what can people expect?
Right. Well, we've got a brilliant lineup because we've got three fantastic clients who all have good, strong opinions on how to build salience and staying power. We have James Sallows, who is, I don't know his actual job title, I'll probably get it wrong, but he's kind of head of insights at Haleon, which is the GSK Consumer Insights, Consumer Products Division. And then we also have Diana Mitkoff, who's head of insights and strategy at De Beers. And then we also have Anna, and I will have a struggle to pronounce her surname, so I won't make it do it wrong. But she's from Pearson, and they all three have really good, strong opinions about how researchers can be building salience and staying power within the industry. And then, of course, we have your colleague, Paul Hudson from FlexMR. I'm going to be kind of the host, if you like, and then Paul and the panel are going to be having a kind of interesting discussion around these around this topic, but also we're going to be slaying some major myths, if you like, from the industry. The debrief being one of them. I'm definitely planning to kill that off. Impact possibly being another one, and finally, my real bugbear, and you'll have to come along to hear the conversation around this, a seat at the table. I have a problem with the seat at the table. So we're going to have a discussion around whether it's valid to kill these sacred institutions off, and what we can do to move forward. So I think will be quite entertaining. And it's on the Monday afternoon at SMR Congress in Amsterdam in a couple of weeks. So I'm excited to do that.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. And hopefully, there'll be some robust discussions.
I
I'm
think there
sure.
will be. I think you can guarantee there's going to be some robust discussions when I start killing off some of those institutions. And there might be people, yes, who would disagree with that, but that's the idea.
Come along to find out.
Exactly.
Well, Lucy, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
It's been a joy. Thank you very much, Chris. And good luck with everything in Japan.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody listening as well. We'll be back with the MRX Lab next month for another episode. But until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.